I'm going to read our scripture for today. Last week, when we were here, we gave you the introduction of Psalm 23. So go back to Psalm 23 is where we're going to be, Psalm 23. And last week, we accented the first four words, "The Lord is my." We're going to get the rest of that psalm today. Psalm 23, a very beloved psalm, a very familiar psalm, so we're not going to spend a lot of time going through detail about it because we don't want to go through everything like we did several years ago. How many of you remember several years ago we went through the theme, Psalms for the Soul? How many were here for Psalms for the Soul? Amen. And at that time, we did go through Psalm 23. And we did something different. We took a shepherd's look at the psalm. So we investigated Psalm 23 from a literal shepherd's view. And David was a shepherd. And so we began to look at some things in that fashion. Today, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to look at it from your view and my view, looking at David's view. Psalm 23, many can probably quote this by heart, but we'll read all six verses this morning and then briefly step down and give a few encouragements about the verses here. Psalm 23, of course, you see all over on my right, "The Lord is my," the first thing in the cloud is a shepherd. Amen. "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's read verses 1 through 6 together. Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I gave you this encouragement last week and say, you know, it's my prayer that as we look at the different psalms, we'll grow closer to our Lord and we'll see him a little closer in his shepherding field in our lives, but many, many other different things. You see several things here on my right and on my left that the Lord is to us and what he means to us. And I do pray that as we go throughout the course of the year, you might let him be what he wants to be in your life. And I ask this, what did you need the Lord to be yesterday? What did you need him to be last week? What did you need him to be last month? And what did you need him to be last year? Well, we've got a brand new week coming in front of us. What will you need him to be tomorrow? What will you need him to be this week? If the truth be known, we really don't know. What will you need him to be this year? Say, "Preacher, I will need him to be a whole lot of things." And that's why we're going through this topic. The Lord wants to be in your life and my life everything that we need him to be. Why? He's my Lord and he's my shepherd. And according to David, if that's the case, I shall not want. Everything that I need, he will provide. And if he is my Lord and my shepherd, that means I must be his sheep. Sheep need constant care, constant guidance, constant maintenance, and constant feeding. Let's feast on the word of God this morning, seeing what David says about his shepherd. And I believe that you would feel the same way that he feels about his shepherd, because he does for David what he does for you, and he does for you what he does for David. Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Lord, as your sheep, we don't know what we will need from moment to moment. We don't know what we'll need day by day. We're just a phone call away from news that will enable us and make us rely upon you as our shepherd. God, whatever we need, I know that you're able to be. Every day in all situations, God, work in our lives like only you can. It is so good to know that, Lord, whatever we need you to be, you will be and can be. Lord, help us today as we dissect the Word of God and look at it from David's perspective and see it from our own perspective. And Lord, as I share some of my perspective of some of the things that you've been to me and you've brought me through, that Lord, we might leave here with a renewed and a refreshed mind about you as our shepherd. And we might remember how good of a job that you have done thus far in shepherding us and how spectacular you want to be in 2020, giving us the shepherding that we need to guide us and to, Lord, maneuver us through uncharted waters. Help us now. Many will need you to be maybe a protector today, maybe a provider today. Lord, some others may need you to, Lord, just step in and prepare for them today, or maybe just to pave the way for them today. Whatever it is that we need you to be, we know you're more than capable of being. Lord, captivate us today by your Spirit. Help us to hear what we need to hear so that we can be what we need to be and do what we need to do by the grace of God. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they would be arrested by your love. And Lord, just taken up by the fact that you died for them, you were buried and rose again, especially for them. And you desire to be their shepherd today. For those that are saved, God, shepherd us through these next days and weeks and months and years until you come to take us home, that we truly may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank you for this precious psalm, Lord. Use it to enable us to leave here differently than we came in, more knowledgeable of our Lord and Savior, more respectable to what you want to do in our lives, and Lord, more changed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless now the song, and Lord, use it to glorify thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy having my Lord for my shepherd. Amen. You know, it is one thing that he is sovereign and he is supreme, but it's another thing to know that he loves me and is my Lord and my shepherd. Amen. You know, I first met my wife, Carmen, in college. You know, it was great having her as a friend. But you know, so much better having her as my wife. I said, I love my wife. No. All right. It was one thing having her as a friend and, you know, someone to communicate with and converse with. But, you know, when we said I do, that just took the relationship to a whole nother level. I committed to her. She committed to me. And not only did I have her as my friend now, I had her as my wife and my spouse forever. Amen. And by the way, I take this thing literally. Till death do we part. Amen. A lot of people may not do that, but I take it literally. Amen. If I die, that's the only time I'm letting her go. Amen. And if she dies, the only time she's getting rid of me. Amen. It's the only time. Amen. Hey, we're there. And so my relationship with her went from a friend now to a friend for life, but also my dear loving wife forever and ever. By the way, God is going to be God with or without you, but it's so much better when he becomes your Lord and your Savior and your shepherd. Amen. As Lord, he loves you and he is sovereign, but then as your Savior, he spares you from that place called hell. As your shepherd, he shepherds you through life.
shows you what you need to do and where you need to go. Why? As sheep, we need some protection, amen. We need some guidance, amen. Much like children do. Children need guidance when they're young, amen. Need it when they're old too, amen. But they definitely need it when they're young, amen, to know what's going on. We're going through this area here talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And the last time we were together last week, we talked about our theme here and what we're going to see the Lord as, and some of the things are, we're going to see the Lord as my song, my light, my deliverer, my helper, my defense. First thing we're going to see is he is my shepherd today. We also talked about the other theme that we have as well. Not only is he my, but he is. What is he? He's good. He's long-suffering. He's with you. He's merciful. He's nigh. He's among us. He's great. I like this one. He is able. Amen. He is able. There's nothing God can't do. Amen. Except sin. Amen. He's not going to sin. Amen. But God is able to do whatever you and I need him to do and be in our lives. And hallelujah. Praise God. That's good to know. Amen. So we're looking at 2020. And just for a moment, I want you to think back over 2019. And as you think back over 2019, what did God do for you? What did your shepherd do for you? What areas did he have to fulfill in your life? Was he your light? Was he your song? Was he your deliverer? Was he your salvation? Was he your strength? What was it that he had to be to you in 2019? Did he have to be good to you? All of us had that one. Did he have to be long-suffering with you? Maybe you're hard-headed. Amen. My mother used to say a hard head makes a soft rear. Amen. And I've got a soft rear to prove it. Amen. Maybe he had to be merciful to you or nigh you during a hardship or a hard time. Maybe he needed to assure you that he was among you. Or maybe he had to show how great he was to you. There was a Red Sea of your life that seemed impassable. Maybe as a great God, he had to open up a passageway for you in something in your life. I don't know what he was for you, but I do know what he was for me. And I do know this going forward in 2020, he wants to be that and then some. I don't know what 2020 holds for me. I don't know what it holds for my wife. I don't know what it holds for my children. My wife's got a tumor. All of you know that. I don't know what's going to happen with that tumor. Is it going to grow? Is it going to disappear? Is it going to cause havoc? Is it going to complicate some issues that she already has with her heart? Bad hearts run in her family. Hey, aneurysms run in my family. My dad had one. His brother died of one. I might have an aneurysm this year. I don't know what 2020 holds. But I do know this. The Lord is my shepherd. And whatever happens to his sheep, he's going to be there to take care of them. So I am so positive of that. That no matter what happens in 2020, now the sheep don't always act like the shepherd knows what he's doing. Sometimes the sheep can get frantic and run around and bump into things and hurt themselves wondering, does the shepherd care? Does the shepherd care? Let me assure you, he knows exactly what's going on with the sheep. And so as I look at 2020 and on the outset of it, I know he's my shepherd. I know he's going to watch over me. Shepherd, how do you know that so confidently? I've got 56 years to do it. And he has been so many of these things to me already in these 56 years. I trust that he's going to be the same in 2020. And then, God's going to be whatever he needs to be in your life and in my life. In Psalm 23 here, we saw Jesus lives and cares for the sheep as the great shepherd. And Psalm 23 being so well known for comfort and calm of the bereaved and those of a heavy heart. But David here claims the Lord as his shepherd, which implies David is his sheep. Sheep by nature, we gave you the understanding last week, are dependent, defenseless, directionless, and we hate to admit that sheep are dumb. Come on now. If ignorant is not a bad word. Someone says, you're just ignorant. Now, we take it offensively, but if you don't know, guess what? You just don't know. And guess what you are? Ignorant. Hey, folks, for the longest time, I was ignorant on how to get to heaven. I thought you get baptized to get to heaven. I thought you joined the church to get to heaven. I thought you had to be slain in the spirit to get the Holy Ghost. I thought you had to get some tithes to get to heaven. I was ignorant until somebody enlightened me and said, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sins. Turn from yourself. Turn from your sin. Turn to the Savior and he will save you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Baptismal waters aren't going to save you. Church membership, not going to save you. Those are good things. They're not going to save you. Giving a tithe is a good thing. By the way, don't stop tithing, amen. But it's not going to get you to heaven. I was ignorant of that fact. Sheep are ignorant of many things. They're dumb. They need constant care, cleaning, and constant maintenance. Psalm 23, we noticed last week, the Lord, first of all. The Lord, the first two words, the Lord. We notice how he's powerful. Lord there is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, denoting that he is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one. It carries with it the idea he is the one who is, who was, and who is to be, the eternal one. We saw the third word, the Lord is, and we saw the word is means to be, and we saw our Lord has potential to be what we need him to be. So not only is he powerful as the Lord, he is, or he is going to be what we need him to be. He has potential to be whatever you need him to be. Hey, do you need a song today? He has potential to be that. Do you need light today? He's got potential to be that. You need deliverance today? He has potential to be that. Do you need help today? Guess what? He has potential to be whatever you need to be. The Lord is. He will be what he needs to be. Then we saw that fourth word, the Lord is my. We saw my means personal. Belonging to a particular person rather than anyone else. By the way, he became mine February 3rd, 1991. He became my wife February 3rd, 1991. By the way, we just celebrated 36 years of marriage. January 14th, I married her 36 years ago this year. And guess what? When she said, I do, and when I said, I do, she became mine. I became hers February 3rd, 1991. I became his and he became mine. He is my shepherd. You say, how come you're getting so possessive? I'm saved too. Well, guess what? Then he's yours too. Unlike my wife, you can't have my wife. Ain't nobody had my wife but me. The kids try to claim her. And I go, look, that's my wife. She's your mother. She's my wife. You can't claim her as your wife. My wife and I try to get up on the couch and have some honeydew time. And they want to snuggle in between. I don't want to kiss your head. I don't kiss my wife. And they want to get down there, snuggle their little bottom. Hi. There's no one speaking to you right now. Remove thy carcass from our presence. That we may resume to smooching. Why? She's my wife. She belongs to me. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, it's not enough to say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. He must personally be my shepherd and your shepherd. If he is your shepherd, I've got just one question for you. When did he become your shepherd? Hey, I know when my wife became mine, that was January 14th, 36 years ago. Hey, I know when I got saved, that was February the 3rd, 1991. When did he become your shepherd? Say, preacher, when I joined the church, no, that's church membership. When I got baptized, no, that's baptism. When I tithe, no, that's tithing. No, see, salvation comes when you understand you're a sinner and that sin wages is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you turn from your sin and you turn to the Savior. And for me, that was February 3rd, 1991. And he became my shepherd. And he gave me a song. He showed me some light. He's delivered me over and over again. He's been my helper. He's been good to me. He's been long-suffering with me. He's been merciful to me. He's been great to me. He's been able to do whatever I want him. He's been righteous to me when I've been unrighteous. He's been everything that I needed him to be. So David is saying so far in the first four words here, the Lord, he's powerful, he's the self-existent one. The Lord is, he has potential to be what I need him to be. And the Lord is my, he's personal, he belongs to me. But then David doesn't stop there. David also said the Lord is my practical provider, he's my shepherd. You know, the job of a shepherd means that he is tending the flock. He's ruling. He's associating with the flock. He's their friend. He's a companion. He's keeping company with them. He's feeding them. He's making friends with them. He's keeping them. He's pastoring them. And in our text for today, David needed the Lord to be his shepherd and provide for him. Say, preacher, what does the Lord provide on a regular basis? Our resources, he rescues us. He redirects us. He gives us rest. He helps us with recuperation. He rears us. He replenishes us. And on I could go. As a result, David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Looking back, I'm sure David could confidently say, I have want for nothing. I had need for nothing. The word want there doesn't mean your desires. Doesn't mean your wishes. It means lack of need. I have no need of anything because all my needs are provided. Jesus Christ is all to me. All I need, the song says. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, he's all I need. So David here looking and pinning down Psalm 23, we don't know when he wrote it. Maybe he was on the run from Saul. Maybe it was right after Goliath. Maybe during Absalom time. We don't know, but we do know shepherding was close to his heart. So it had to be when he was pretty young. Because when he became king, he's in the kingly mindset. Now he's more in the shepherding mindset. And believe it or not, he was a shepherd before he became king. And so looking back, David wanted for nothing that he needed. You and I can look back over 2019 and we can see that we wanted for nothing. We had no lack for that which we needed. By the way, needs and wants are different. Amen. I tell my son all the time, he needs a job. He doesn't want a job. He doesn't desire a job, but he needs a job. Amen. He said, why does he need a job? Because he wants to spend money. And you want to buy a pair of $140 Curry shoes, then you need a job. You want to buy Kevin Durant shoes, you need a job. You want to buy a Kyrie Irving shoes, you need a job. Now, to get the shoes that I provide, you don't need a job for that. How many of y'all remember the PF Flyers back in the days? The Sears Winners? That's what my dad used to buy us. Amen. I said, Dad, I want Converse All-Stars. He's like, you better get you some Converse All-Stars money. I was so excited when the day when the basketball coach said, everybody's got to have Converse All-Stars. I came home. Dad, I need some Converse All-Stars. Boy, I didn't talk to you about that already. You're going to wear those Sears Winners. I said, coach said we got to have some Converse All-Stars. How much grass you going to cut for them? Oh. I got to work for it. David said, when it comes down to it, I had want of nothing. There was nothing that I needed. We often want or desire what we don't need. Most times we can't afford it anyway. We want the cell phone with all the bells and whistles and we don't even blow it. Amen. Don't even use it. We want the cable TV that's got 1,500 channels. We only watch one. We want the car that goes 1,000 miles an hour. We only go 20 miles an hour. We want a house with 56 rooms. We only live in one. Oh, we want a kitchen full of meat and we only eat chicken. That's just the way we are. We go in the store, we see everything. Ooh, that look good. Ooh, that look good. And we got our pantries full of food that we've never used and we got to get to the food bank. If you like me, it's time when we go to Pima County Fair. We take all the stuff out that we don't want. Can we get in for free? Amen. We got all this stuff that we don't need. And if the, honestly, we really don't want it. So you can have it. Split pea soup. There you go. Tomato soup. There you go. There's canned bone. Amen. You can have that. Amen. We're not going to use this stuff. I'm going to say, David said, I shall not want. He said, I don't have a need. I don't have a need. Children often want or desire what they don't need. And then they throw it away when they get done or they break it. Oops. Can I get another one, the new and improved model? There's none with the model you had. It was outdated. That's why it broke. Hint, hint. That's why it broke. You sure you didn't break it? No, I was playing with it and it broke. Oh, were you playing with it like this? It's not made to move like that. That's those stretch toys that you have. Hey, folks, in this first verse, David is saying, the Lord is my practical provider. He's my shepherd. He's done everything that I need to do. When I needed him on the field, he was there. When I was doing my shepherding, he shepherded me. When I was out there with the lambs and I needed his help, he was there. When the predators came, he was there. And David is writing that from this perspective. I wonder if you and I wrote our own Psalm 23, what would it sound like? I wonder, what the Lord is my shepherd. I had some wants. Lord is my shepherd. I had few wants. Lord is my shepherd. I think I want. Would it be, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall have need for nothing. If you and I penned the psalm, how would it sound? The Lord is my shepherd. David said, I shall not want. But then we come down to verse number 2. As David said, he's my practical provider. He begins to talk about what this practical provisions are all about. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In other words, in verse number 2, David lets us know he was fed and he was filled with whatever he needed. Think about it. We somehow managed with the finances of 2019 and we didn't go broke. We somehow managed with the finances and the food and the fillings of 2019 and things didn't fall apart. The wheels didn't come off the wagon, as you would say. Oh, was it tight? It's always tight when you're dealing with sheep. Was it a little messy? It's always messy when you're dealing with sheep. Was it fun? It's never fun when the sheep have needs and problems arise. Was it smooth sailing? It's never smooth sailing when you're dealing with living lives. And if you've got children, and you've got a husband, you've got a wife, you've got family, you know what I'm talking about. It's never smooth sailing because there's always the unexpected. The fevers come when you don't invite them. The sicknesses come when you try to prevent them. The finances seem to run out when you need them most. The car breaks down when you least expect it to. You get a flat tire when you really aren't planning for one. Many different things happen throughout life. But David could say, hey, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I have food enough to eat. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He makes sure that I have something to drink. Hey, folks, he was fed and he was filled. For you and I, we manage with our finances. We manage with our food in spite of things. We've managed. Why? Because we have a shepherd. And he knew that we would have need. We manage how? He's my deliverer. He's my helper. He's my defense. He's my strength. How did I get to be in the green pastures where I had what I needed, sufficient to eat? How does the shepherd get the sheep there? He leads them to the place where they need to be. How do they get to the still waters? He makes sure he navigates them away from the rough waters. Why? The sheep will not drink water from a running, a rushing noise because it will frighten them. So he's got to lead them beside the still waters. When you look back on 2019, does it amaze you that God steered you away from certain things? And he prevented you from grazing in certain pastures? When I'm talking about pasture, I'm talking about things that you ingested into your mouth or your ears or your eyes or your nose or into your mind. He leaded you away from certain things to lead you in a certain way because he knew that it would infect you. It was not a green pasture for you. It was not good for you to ingest because he knew that it would bother you. And it doesn't go well with sheep. David said he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Sometimes he forces me to go in a direction I really don't want to go. He leadeth me beside still waters. He brings me to the place where I can drink quietly and peacefully. He makes sure you have been fed and filled. May I say there's nothing better than this word to fill up on. David's speaking physically, but spiritually, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes sure I have food of the word of God. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes sure the Spirit has all of me and I have all of the Spirit to deal with him and to deal with others. Verse number 3, David not only says, hey, you know what? I've been fed and I've been filled, but he's also a practical provider as my shepherd. He gives restoration and righteousness. Notice verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoreth my soul. In restoration, David said he restoreth my soul. I don't know about you, but in 2019, my soul got lean at times. You get around ungodly people, they will drain every bit of spirituality you have. It may be at your job. It may be with some folks at the grocery store, maybe in the department store. There's just some people that are just rude and they're just unruly for no reason at all other than to annoy you. And they seem to have your number. And it annoys you. And it could be the smallest thing. You know one of the things that annoys me? I survey the cash registers. I get to the shortest line. I got 2 items. I'm next. And then the lady says, I'm closed. And I'm looking at my 2 items, and I'm looking at the closed sign. And I'm ready to get unspiritual. But then you look, and you see people are looking. And you smile, and then you go over to the next line. And you wait 5 people behind, and they've got 1,000 groceries, and you get up, and you're next. And then you hear this. Can we get a price check on register 2? I got 2 items. And that light's flickering. I've already been dejected from this line. And you watch people going past you. And it's not their fault. You know whose fault it is? Mine. And you know what happens to my soul? It gets dried up sometimes. I turn into the Grinch who stole Christmas. I got a green point at the top of my head. I've got those crusty teeth. The only thing I don't have is a little dog, Bart, or whatever the dog's name is, amen? But I feel crusty. I'm like, don't you know I'm in a rush? Don't you know I'm trying to get back to church? Real spiritual, huh? Real spiritual. Don't you know I got plans to go, things to do? I'm trying to be godly. Yeah, I see it all over your face. Hey, folks. I need to be restored sometimes. Restoration. He restores my soul. I'm not as spiritual as I ought to be all the time. David said, hey, look, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm not as spiritual. These guys can drive me crazy. And replace this with kids sometimes. They can drive you crazy. Replace that with your boss and your coworkers. That can drive you crazy. Replace that with your schoolwork in school. That can drive you crazy. Replace that with just folks in general that are wicked for no reason at all. That'll drive you crazy. And David said, look, I need to be restored. I need to be restored. I may be way out here, but I still got cares. What is the soul? It's your mind, emotions, and your will. I don't know about you, my mind, my emotion, and my will. My mind gets defiled sometimes. My emotions get damaged sometimes. People can hurt my feelings. Preacher, nothing hurts your feelings. Yeah, things hurt my feelings. People think you can just say anything to the preacher. The preacher's just a solid wall. It's rock. Nothing moves the pastor. He's always smiling. Yeah, nothing. My mind, my emotions get affected too. And my will gets affected too. Sometimes my will gets defeated. I see people don't get saved. I get defeated. I see people reject my witness. I get defeated. I say, Lord, is it worth it? Should I continue with this? You're my shepherd. Should I continue with this? My soul needs to be restored. No one's getting saved. No one's asking to be born again. No one's joining the church. No one's giving. No one's tithing. No one's giving to missions. No one. Then God says, but that one is. But that one is. But that one is. You know what happened? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He says, don't look at who's not. Look at what is. And look at I am. Ooh, that restores your soul. You look up and see I am. Ooh. I am what I need to be for you. I will be what I need to be for you. You may need your soul restored. You may be defiled. You may be defeated in your will. But I am there to help your emotions, to help your will, to help your soul, to restore you back in your emotions, to give you. What am I saying? He's a practical provider as my shepherd. He restores my soul. He sets my emotions back in from damage. He helps my will when it's defeated. He helps my mind when it's defiled. He recovers me. He refreshes me. And he reminds me of how good of a shepherd he really is. And he's all I need. What more shall I want? He restores my soul. David said he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Rhetorical question, did you sin and get off the path of righteousness in 2019? Did you maybe think a sin or say a sin or saw a sin or sniffed a sin or heard a sin or walked into sin or walked with sin or followed sin? Did you maybe perhaps get off the path of righteousness? And you know what the shepherd had to do for you? He had to get the old crook out and bring it back. Watch it back. You know, it could be like some of these parents. I see they have a little belt around them with a leash like a dog, and they have it on their kids. And the kid can only go but so far. And then he'll run out there, bang, get yanked back. And you see him, you know, man, he's like a little dog. They're walking. You know, the kids over there, boing, boing. God didn't put a leash on you. He says, you're going to go in the path of righteousness or you're going to go in the path of wretchedness. But don't worry. Because I'm your shepherd and you're my sheep, I'll come get you. I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad he gives me the Holy Spirit, which convicts me and lets me know you're off the path of righteousness. And you need to get back on the path. I'm so glad he has his word there, which is there to warn me, you're off the path. Hey, if you're saved here, you have the Holy Spirit too. And he warns you that you're off the path. Sometimes I don't care, I'm going my way. Headache, heartache, and woe. So you might as well put the book down there. Headache, heartache, and woe. Because that's what you're going to experience. One way or another. I'm sure David had his lessons. I'm sure his sheep had their lessons. He said, he leadeth me. He restoreth my soul for his name's sake. Notice that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David said he's a practical provider for me in restoration of my soul and righteousness in my steps. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. David says something else here. He's a practical provider as my shepherd in health and help. Notice verse number 4. Up to this point in Psalm 23, David has been talking about his shepherd. Notice what he says in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. But now we come to the valley of the shadow of the death, and David is not talking about his Savior anymore. Guess what? He's talking to his shepherd. Notice how it changes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for notice this, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. David suddenly comes to this point of fear and death and shadows, and he says, I'm afraid, I need to talk to the shepherd. I'm not talking about him anymore. I'm talking to him. Before, I was letting you know all about how good he is, but now I need to talk to him because I need him right now. And I'm not talking about him to you anymore. I'm talking to him. He says, I've got a valley coming up. I've got a valley. Now, folks, none of us want to go through a valley. I know I don't. You know, it's amazing. When you go into a valley, say this is the top ground here, and you go in the valley, you can't see anything. Can y'all see me? See, when you go in the valley, I can't see you, and you can't see me. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, this is a valley. I can't see a whole lot. Heck, one thing I can see is I can see up. I can't see what's going on up here. I can't see what's going on out here. I'm down in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through this valley, there's some shadows here. Shadows of death. What's David saying? David is saying, hey, I need my Lord in health. And I need my Lord's help. He's been talking about his Lord. Now he's talking to his Lord in health. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's something about a shadow. Have you ever noticed this? You can make your shadow big. You ever did that? You stand by. When I was kids, we used to practice stepping on the shadow. You can move around people, they have to step on your shadow, and you can move around. And the further you got away from the light, the bigger your shadow was. The one thing you didn't want to make is your shadow big. You wanted your shadow to be small. Why? They couldn't step on a small shadow because they can move too quick. Doesn't it amaze you that we get so upset about the shadows? We're afraid of the shadows. We're afraid of the dark. We see a shadow. Ooh, what is that? Oh, there's a shadow. There's something there. You see something at night. Oh, what is that? It's a shadow. Sometimes it's your own shadow. Are you afraid of your own shadow? I've done that before because I wear glasses. I mistake things. I'm jumping back. I'm like, oh, that's just my glasses. Amen. Scaring myself. Amen. I think something about to get me. Amen. And shadows normally are bigger than they appear. They're normally larger than the object. And they always look and sound worse. You think maybe David's thinking about Goliath here? I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, Goliath was big, but guess what? He cast a big shadow, but he sure fell real big too. And something else about shadows. Shadows don't have any weight. We put more weight and burden on ourselves just wondering about the shadow. About what can happen, what might happen. We send our kids off to school. Well, they might have this happen. This may happen. Someone may do this to them. Well, they might. But is it going to help worrying about it? Don't worry about it. Do what David did. Talk to the shepherd about it. He said, thou. He said, yes, I'm walking through this valley. Yes, I've got these shadows. Yes, it's of death. It's dealing with my health. He said, but I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. He said, I'm going through it, and you're going all the way. And guess what? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, long as my dad was with me, didn't matter. I mean, I'm familiar with Chicago. There's a place there called Cabrini Greens. It's one of the roughest project housings in Chicago. They tore it down. And my dad, I have three cousins that would live up there, three girls. They had a single mom. And we would have to go up to Cabrini Greens. It is like the worst ghetto that you ever want to go to. the elevators never worked, and my cousins lived way up on top. And you would get mugged just going up the stairwell before you got to your destination. As long as my dad's with me, it didn't bother me at all. I can walk through that valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear no evil. Why? My dad's with me. But you let me go up there by myself. Yeah. I had to go up there one time. They said, can you go out to the car and get something? I said, The elevators don't work. I'm not going to come back if I go down there. What you afraid of? The valley of the shadow of death. You're not supposed to fear no evil. Thou art with me. Now you come with me and that's different. You come with me and I don't know how my three cousins that were girls lived there with a single mom. I don't know how they did it. Every time I went there, I feared for my life. I thought, can we not visit them and say we did? Well, no, we got to go see your cousins. Can't let them come see us. At least they don't get mugged when they come see us. Amen. David said, hey, there's something about these shadows. There's something about my health. There's something about these things that I know thou art with me. And so as a result, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have some help in this situation. By the way, notice when he says, I will fear no evil. Evil has a broad application. It means to have adversity, to have affliction, to have calamity, to have displeasure, to have distress, to have grief or harm. David said, I'm not going to fear any of those things. Hey, folks, I don't know about you. I have my share of those things. I have my share of trouble. I have my share of wrong. I have my share of sadness and sorrow and misery. Evil has all of those connotations. David says he's a practical provider. He's my health. Going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear those things that can happen because you're with me. You got a rod and you got a staff. This was used for walking, but it could also be used to beat off predators. And it could also be used to get erring sheep and bring them back. David said, your rod and your staff will be against those that would do me harm, would do me evil. It brings a comfort to me. Hey, because my dad was big, that brought a comfort to me. I had three sisters. And when something bad happened to me at school, it was embarrassing to go say, I'm going to tell my sisters on you. But if I said, I'm going to go get my dad, everybody knew my dad. My dad was big. He was strong. He worked on the railroad. I've been working on the railroad. If I said, I'm going to get my dad, he used to roll his sleeves up. And man, it used to bulge out like that. If I said, I'm going to get my dad, guess what? He would use a rod or a staff to bring comfort to me. Now, he wouldn't beat anybody, but just his presence. Just his presence. Who is that? That's your dad? Yeah. And that's not the worst part. Mom is the worst part. Does she have his size? You think dad is menacing? You get mom. Mom will beat you like nobody's business. Dad will just get in there and wop, 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 wop. Mama, pow, 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 boy, pow, 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 pow. And you're like, it's an octopus, Mom was more menacing than dad. David said, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Then he drops down to the next verse. He's a practical provider. As my shepherd in fear, favor, and fullness. Notice verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The face of fear, because he says he's going to prepare a table for me, even in the presence of mine enemies. And sheep would always have enemies like coyotes and wolves. And so the shepherd was watching guard while the animals are eating there. He's looking at all the coyotes that may come, the wolves that may come, the predators that may come, even the bandits and the robbers and the rogues. He's watching and the sheep can eat in peace. He said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I can eat, I can feast in peace. Thou anointest my head with oil. I wonder if David's thinking about the time that he was anointed king. And he still had to go right back and keep the sheep. and God watched over him. Then he went to Goliath, and he came right back to the sheep, and God watched over him. And then he went to Saul's court, and he had to run. I wonder if he's thinking about that time. Medicinally, for sheep, they would often get into fights and scraps, and they would get sores on them, and they would have to be anointed with oil to help them heal. Maybe David had some scars of life. Maybe his brothers ridiculed him. You know they did. Maybe he had a scar that he needed some healing. Maybe there's some relationships in his life that people mocked him and ridiculed him for being the youngest, be the one keeping the sheep instead of having a real job like his brothers going to the army and fighting against the Goliath out there. Maybe they ridiculed him because he was the youngest. He was a ruddy, good-looking guy out there keeping the sheep. He's a mama's boy. He can't go fight. And maybe he had to be anointed with some oil to help with some of the scars that he received emotionally. Hey, folks, we receive scars emotionally. And I'm so glad the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, anoints us. Lets us know what's going on. And that God still loves us. And it doesn't matter. But we do know that the sheep needed anointing. We do know David was anointed. He said, my cup runneth over. I've got everything I need when it comes to this table. When it comes to the anointing, I don't lack. I've got it all covered under my shepherd's care. Then number six, he's a practical provider. As my shepherd now and in the near future, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, he says, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. As long as my shepherd is there, it's going to be good. As long as he's there, I've got my song, I've got my light, my deliverer. Hey, once that shepherd goes away, I wonder where he's gone. But guess what? I'm so glad he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's good. He's good all the time. He's long-suffering with me. I may stray and go somewhere that ought not go, but guess what? He's merciful. He's going to always come get me. He's great. He's able to deliver me. No matter where I go, he comes looking for me. Why? He's good. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'll have God's goodness. I'll have his mercy all the days of my life. Not to mention, guess what? There still is a principle of sowing and reaping. If I sow goodness, guess what? I'm going to reap goodness. If I sow mercy, I'm going to reap mercy. If I sow something that's good, I can expect to reap something. David said, goodness is going to follow me. Mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life because of God's goodness and God's mercy, but also my life has been one of sowing and reaping. Folks, I don't know about you. It's good to sow good seed because you get to reap good fruit. You sow wicked seeds, you're going to reap wicked fruit. Folks say, I don't know why I'm getting all this bad. Check your seeds. What did you sow? What did you look at with your eyes? What did you hear with your ears? What did you let go into your mind? What did you ingest in your mouth? What came in and you will reap that which you sow? It's not a threat, it's a promise. Agriculturally and spiritually. It's a promise. I don't believe that. Try sowing some bad stuff and see what happens. David said, now surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, but in the near future I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, in the future I'm going to dwell with the Lord. I'm going to be with him forever and ever. His mercy is going to follow me. His grace is going to follow me. Goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. He said, I've got it now. I've got it in the near future. It's mine. Why? Because he is my shepherd and I'm his sheep. David pinning down from his life and through the Psalms of what's going on in his life as a shepherd, but also as a sheep of the shepherd. Because I don't know about you, but God wants to be for you what Psalm 23 was for David, and then some. You may not have a Goliath, but your situation may be like Goliath. You may not go through the valley of the shadow of death, but the shadow may be death in and of itself. It may kill you spiritually and defeat you emotionally and wound you financially. There may be some things that aren't death in themselves, but it sure feels like it. Relationship, a friend, a job, a home, finances. There's certain things that may feel like death, and it's not death itself. What did David say here? He says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he ends with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, because the Lord is my shepherd. All in between, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 is the shepherd's care. At the end, verse number 6, he said, that's what I got to look forward to. That's what I'm going to capture in the end. His care of me, but I'm just capturing a glimpse of what's lying ahead. And what he's doing now, he will do forever and ever. And I'm going to catch all that, all of his goodness, all of his mercy. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to God shepherding me this year. He might have to make me lie down in green pastures. He might have to make you lie down in green pastures. But I know this, he will lead me beside the still waters. He'll lead you as well. He may have to restore your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. He may have to restore mine. But I do know this, as he does that, he will lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not mine. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I don't need to fear evil. The shadows will be there, but the shadows have no weight. The fear may be there, but I don't need to fear any evil. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's going to prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He'll make it sure that I'm able to get what I need, even though others around are trying to attack me. David said, thou anointest my head with oil. He has an anointing for you as well as for me. And David said, my cup's going to run over. I'll have what I need and then some. Folks, capture a glimpse of the shepherd with his sheep, and you'll catch a glimpse of what God wants to do with you in this year. My question to you is, are you one of his sheep? Are you truly born again? Are you truly his child? Have you been saved? If not, why not? Doesn't take but a moment of your time to acknowledge your sin and to accept his salvation. That's all it takes. Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And guess what? He will be merciful to you. He'll save you. He'll shepherd your life if you let him. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're a sheep, let him shepherd your life today. You may experience the same things David experienced. You may experience something totally different, but the shepherd is still the same. Father, bless now this invitation. I don't know who is saved and who is not saved, but you know, Lord, speak to every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl here. And help them to see that you love them first and foremost, and that you gave heaven's best for them second of all. And thirdly, Lord, that you'll save them if they simply ask to be saved. Many of us here are your sheep. Lord, help us to allow you shepherd our lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I am not sure I am going to heaven. I would love to be one of God's sheep and sure of heaven, but I'm not quite 100% sure. I think I might be. But would you pray for me that I can make sure that I am on my way to heaven? Right where you're sitting, you don't have to move. All I'm asking you to do is raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor, right where you sit? If that's you, raise your hand right now. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down right where you sit. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it, preacher, but I'm not 100% positive. There's some doubts in my mind. And by the way, folks, oftentimes we may have doubts. There's nothing wrong with having doubts. It's having a doubt and not doing anything to get reassurance. Right where you're at, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? Then the next one is for sheep. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're truly one of his sheep. Would you let him shepherd you through the valley of the shadow of death? Would you let him shepherd you as he makes you lie down in green pastures? Would you let him shepherd you as you have to go beside the still waters? Would you let him shepherd you when your soul needs restoring? When you need to get back in the paths of righteousness, would you let him shepherd you? to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Would you let him shepherd you throughout 2020, especially when you don't know what's going to happen? If so, tell him in prayer. Father, bless the next moments of invitation. Speak to Christian and member and non-member alike. Help us to make the decisions that you would have us to make. And Lord, help us to allow you to shepherd us through the unknowns of 2020 with all that is before us and then some. And save, if there's one that is lost today and unsure of heaven, save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.